Second Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Second Peter chapter 2 and verses 1, 2, and 3. I will read verses 1 and 3, and if together we can read verse 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Love the sound of Bible pages turning, amen. It's just one of these days I'm just going to get my wife and my daughter just to turn pages at home. Amen. It just sounds cool. It really does. All right, if you would stand as we read the Word of God this evening, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they be feigned, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your love and your guidance in our lives. We thank you for just giving us the Word of God and the freedom that we had to be able to come and meet and be able to hear the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be able to have our hearts open and our ears open to hear the Word of God. Just like the missionary, the Lopez's down in South America, and they're preaching the gospel and getting people saved. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and be able to hear the Word of God so our faith can be increased so we can reach people in our area. So, Holy Spirit of God, please, pray that you help us and strengthen us. Please feel free to the powers that brings a message to us tonight. And, Lord, we'll give you all glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
All right. As I want to preach a message tonight and encountered or entitled Spotting Frauds. Spotting Frauds. You know, above the entrance of the concentration camp in Auschwitz, Germany had put words there that said in German the words that meant work makes free. Now, of course, that was a bold-faced lie, that lie suggesting that if the prisoners worked hard enough and were good enough, they could earn their freedom and be given liberty. And of course, they were promised that freedom they were promised was a horrific death. Many of them going to the gas chambers, many of them dying of malnutrition and disease and dysentery. And so as horrible as that was, I believe there's something that is far more worse today. And that is false religion. Because false religion is much worse because it damns eternal souls. And so many people believe that if they do their best, just like those people that walk through those gates at Auschwitz, they think, well, I can earn my way to heaven. If I can just be good enough, I'll earn or gain my freedom. However, this is a false narrative, a false statement, a false declaration that they're going to learn all too late that their works do not earn their freedom, just like those that walked into the gas chambers and then the doors were locked behind them, now realizing, we really aren't going to be free. It is the blood of Christ that liberates the soul. And with that, he died to give us freedom from the penalty of our sin. And there are those today that are teaching, preaching, and declaring another gospel, another Savior, another God, another Bible, another way to heaven than what Jesus Christ declares in his holy and precious word. And so we see over the last few Sunday nights, we've been talking about foundations of the faith and the home. And if we're going to be grounded in truth, we've got to be able to spot error, spot lies, so we don't fall susceptible to that. And of course, the greatest way to know or to be able to spot a fraud is to know the truth. The Secret Service, they're not taught in their Secret Service school. They're not taught, they're not handed fraud bills. They're not handed counterfeit bills and studying where the print is wrong or where the paper weight or the texture is right. No, they're handed the real thing. And when you're handling the real thing long enough, when the fake thing comes along, you'll know it right away. And I want us to understand some things that we need to beware of in our day and age, and especially now with radio and television, and now with the use of the internet. Anyone can have an audience, anyone can have a pulpit, anyone can have an area of expressing their thoughts or their beliefs, and in the hopes, and I believe, used of Satan to ensnare others to believe a lie. And so when it comes to spotting a fraud, I want to look and see what the Bible says. And so as we look at 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 1, it says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." And of course, that "you" is talking about the church. And so the world today is full of dangerous heresies. It's it needs, you know, of course, the need in these last days is for authentic Bible-believing Christianity, Bible-believing preaching, Bible-believing truths. And so a false prophet in the Old Testament would be put to death. The Bible does tell us in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 20. I've already typed it out. I'm going to turn there real quick. Deuteronomy 18:20, it says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods," small g, "even that prophet shall die." God had declared long ago that anyone speaking a lie, preaching a lie, teaching a lie, and trying to say, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord did not say, is a result or a punishment of death. That's how serious God takes the sharing of false teaching. And when we look at problems of counterfeit Christians today, and of course there's that term that's used loosely, very loosely. It seems like anyone that believes there is a God is kind of molded into that term Christian. Even those that don't believe in God, because they live in America as a Christian nation, have been given the term a Christian. But that's just the phrase or the name does not make it so. But there is no greater crime than being a false prophet. And I believe that as God declared that to be a death penalty in Deuteronomy. You know, it's bad to tell a lie. It's a sin. The Bible says that even liars will have their place in hell. Boy, it's awful to tell a lie. We should never make light of a lie and trying to deceive someone into believing something that's not true. And so with that, much worse than telling a lie is to teach a lie. You know, one of Adolf Hitler's methods or thoughts was, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. But you know what? He taught it so long, he believed it himself. And boy, they just tried to get into this mentality of teaching lies, and it's terribly worse to tell a lie and to teach a lie about God, because you can cause a soul to be eternally lost. And with that, that soul, that their blood will be upon your head. And so there are several ways to spot counterfeit prophets, teachers, and preachers. There's very, very few, if any, that I would watch on live TV. There's some I might watch on Facebook, like we watch, of other churches of like faith. There might be a few that I'd listen to on the radio, but very, very, I'm talking like less than, the fingers I have on my hand. Be very, very, very careful about who you listen to, what you listen to. So I want to give you a couple things that we can spot a fraud, or how to understand what someone is saying, whether it's truth or not, some things in which we can spot false prophets, false teachers, and preachers. And so, number one, we need to be aware of their presence. We need to understand that today in 2022, just like there was in the Old Testament, New Testament, there are false teachers and preachers today. Yesterday I saw an ad for Joel Osteen's new book. And he's standing next to this big sequoia tree, and he's talking about how the pine cone being burned by fire releases the seeds, and how God's going to use fire to, bless your life and make you happy. And just, of course, he's smiling the whole time. And I looked down to a lot of the comments, and thankfully a lot of people were saying, boy, false prophet, false teacher, a heretic, And I put on there, he needs to buy another Ferrari. That's why he's writing another book. He needs to make some more income. But let me tell you, we sometimes we can spot them right away, but sometimes they're a little more subtle. Sometimes they can be conniving. And let me tell you, Satan will always put some truth with a lie. He'll always mix that in, because then it's more palatable or more believable, more deceivable. And so with that, we need to be aware of their presence. The people referring to in this passage was Israel of old. Of course, as we see in verse number 1, but there were false prophets among the people. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about in the Old Testament, amongst the Israelites and amongst those, there were those in the days of Israel that were false prophets. And the author is saying there that there have always been, Peter is saying there's always been false prophets in the past. And so this is nothing new. And we need to understand false religion is as old as Eden, the Garden of Eden. And we, some people will subdivide, religion into Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Confucianism, or Hinduism, etc. Then they'll subdivide Christianity into Catholicism or Protestantism. Let me just tell you, Christianity and Catholicism have never been one. You're either a Christian or you're a Catholic. You either believe in Catholicism or you believe in Christianity. They are not the same. And so even going further, they'll then divide Protestant into denominations, the Lutherans, the Methodists. But let me just tell you, as a Baptist, we've never been a Protestant. We've never been a part of the Catholic Church. We have never, we don't, some will, oh, praise the Lord. I remember years ago at Thanksgiving, and of course, as a kid, I had no clue. And I remember we were going around the table giving things we were thankful for. I might have said the turkey. I don't remember. But I remember my uncle, for Martin Luther. And how thankful he was. And I am thankful that he woke up to the lies of the Catholic Church and got a lot of people out of that. But now that I'm older and understanding, and I am thankful that he called them on all the wickedness and evilness that was going on in that day. But even then, it was not what needed to be done is total separation. But there are things in which we know that as a Baptist, we don't have our foundings going back to Martin Luther dividing from the Catholic Church or starting from the Catholic Church. We were never a part. We can't divide from something we were never a part of. Sir Isaac Newton said, the Baptists are the only known body of Christians that has not symbolized within the Church of Rome. Isaac Van Ness said, before the rise of Luther and Calvin, there lay secreted in almost all the countries of Europe persons who adhered very strong in belief to the principles of the modern Dutch Baptist. And of course, that was written back in that time frame. But we see that there are those that are of false doctrines. And so, as I mentioned this morning, the word Christianity is used very loosely today. But with that, we need to understand this is nothing new. But in all of the different categories of religions and all the religions of the world, let me just tell you, there are only two religions today. Out of everything that's there, there is true religion and there's false religion. Every other religion, every other belief, every other denomination, every church, everything falls in one of those two categories. Either it's true or it's false. Two people can't say, well, there's a different road to heaven, or I've got the only road to God, or I've got the only Savior. They both can't be right. And so there is only one truth. And there have been false teachers since the Garden of Eden, and they still exist today. And we see in 2 Peter verse chapter 2, verse 1, as it says, talking about Israel, even the... as there shall be false teachers among you. And of course, talking about the church today, there are false teachers in our churches today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Understanding, they're not saved. Because it's not their end isn't according to Christ's works, it's their works. The world is going to be judged based on their works. And so we understand that there are some who don't know the Lord, and they're going to die and spend eternity in hell, and they stand behind a pulpit, they stand behind a podium, they either preach or they teach, and they're false prophets and angels and claim to be angels of light. But when you look for the devil, never fail to look for him in the pulpit. And so we shouldn't let false teachers or false preachers take us by surprise. We shouldn't get into a book and then at the end of the cover realize, oh, you know, I didn't know. We've got to be very, very alert in what we allow into our library. I'm very careful about what the books that I have in my library. Because if I allow a book that has false teaching in it, then I can be susceptible if I take that book and I read it. And I allow those thoughts and that mindset to creep in. I don't want to become an alcoholic, so therefore I don't take a sip. Even farther than that, I don't let it in my home. I don't know if there was alcohol in my home before I bought the house, but I can tell you one thing. Since I bought the house in 2007, there's never been a drop of alcohol entered my door. With that, you say, "Preacher, you think you're going to have a drinking problem?" No. I don't want a drinking problem, so therefore I'm going to set up some boundaries. Think, "Preacher, you're going to get into a cult or a false religion and change your beliefs?" No. But I don't even want to give an avenue or way to that road, so therefore I'm going to protect what I allow to influence me or my family. And so I must be very careful and cautious, and especially as a pastor, I want to make sure that I'm careful and cautious about the books that come into our bookstore, or the things in which are taught, or even the preachers that come and preach here. I get emails and calls all the time of evangelists wanting to come down to Florida for a vacation and write off their gas and their stay, you know, as a trip expense. But even though they might claim to be a Baptist, if I don't know them, I can't just assume that everybody that is a Baptist has sound doctrine. I have to be careful. Because the Bible warns me that there are those that are trying to act as an angel of light, but they are false teachers, and they're amongst us. And it was nothing new in the Old Testament amongst the children of Israel. It was nothing new in the church that Peter was writing to, and it's nothing here that's new in our day and age. We should not let false teachers take us by surprise. The surprise. The Bible very clearly tells us that they are amongst us. So we need to be aware of their presence. If you're going to be alert, you first need to be aware of the danger. There is a danger lurking today, and even amongst Baptist churches, that preachers are attacking the Word of God. They're attacking the truths of what God has said and declared. They are now starting to put question marks. You think, oh, in a Baptist church? Yes. And boy, it's been going on since Satan has ever been at work putting a question mark since the Garden of Eden behind everything that God has said. But not only do we need to be aware, but we need to identify them by their message. You want to know how to spot a fraud? Identify their message. Their own truths, their own words in which they are trying to teach will give them away. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1, their message is called damnable heresy. You know, the word heresy comes from the word which means to divide. It will cause a division. When heresy comes into the church, it always causes people to make a choice. You either have to believe it or reject it. That's the only two options there is. So that choice causes a division. Christ causes a division. Jesus said he came to divide, because people are either going to believe him or reject him. And heresy is no different. When heresy creeps into the church, people are either going to accept it or they're going to reject it. And so the leadership or someone in the church has to confront the heresy. And those teaching the heresy, if they don't stop teaching it or they refuse to stop, guess what? It's going to cause division. And that is for sure. But I want you to understand, when we spot them by the message, by the message they're saying, everyone that preaches heresy, when you confront them, they will always act as if they're the ones being persecuted, and you are putting upon them. What are they going to do? They're going to play the martyr. They're going to play the victim. They're going to act like it's your fault, even though you're the one standing against what is wrong. And let me tell you, it's better to be divided over truth than be unified with an error. We don't have to get along with everybody. Amen? As Baptists, that's one thing we get to amen, right? We don't have to get along with everybody. You know, there's no verse in the Bible that says that we have to get along with everybody in the sense, because there are verses that tell us we are to mark them which cause division, that we are to be as kind to someone as, what does the Bible say, as lieth in you? That as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, we are to try. But it's not a command that we have to get along with everybody. This movement today with a one world, one religion, one God, one belief, let's just hold hands and sing kumbaya, that is not scriptural. In the sense that we need to understand, we need to come to a time and a place where we have to say, that's wrong. And when we say that's wrong, we are drawing the line in the sand and saying, I'm sorry, but if that's where your belief or your truth stands, I cannot fellowship or I cannot be associated with you. And with that, some people think that the Bible is not true. And so therefore, because of false teachers. Well, if the Bible was true, there wouldn't be so many religions. There wouldn't be so much controversy. There wouldn't be so much, let me tell you, if You know, if there were no cults, if there were no false religions, if there was no preachers of heresy, the Bible would not be true. Because the Bible says that there will be false cults. There will be false teaching, as we see in verse number 1. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So how do you spot a false prophet? Well, there's some things that you must do. Number one, if you've already had number one already, number A, you've got to have the source test. Test the source. Where does it come from? You know, what are the bases of their teachings? Do they have a revelation other than what's in the Bible? You know, I love the Answers book written by Keith Piper, a missionary, a Baptist missionary, a Baptist pastor in Australia, who put this book together, and he's got a very large section that is set to false religions. And so I've read through some of them. I have not read all of it because there are sometimes up to 200 pages on each religion, and it is a lot to keep up with. But you know, as you go through and you start to ask yourselves these questions, you know, what's the basis of their teaching? What revelations do they have? You know, some false teachers say that they accept the Bible. Be very careful. I've been out soul winning in a neighborhood off of TCU on University, not too far from here on our bus route area years ago. And I had a Mormon come to the door and says, "We believe the same thing." And I said, "No, we don't." He goes, "Yes, we do. I believe the Bible." I'm thinking, "Yeah, you believe the Bible, but you believe five other books too. I don't believe them. I only believe the Bible. So therefore, we don't believe the same thing." Many religions will say, "Oh, we believe the Bible. Oh, it's a wonderful book." But yet they accept it as the Word of God, but they also accept other books as written by another prophet. Like the Mormons accept Joseph Smith. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses accept Pastor Russell and his teachings. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, you start to go through the source test. Okay, what do they believe? What are they teaching? You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that God is omnipresent. They believe God is on His throne and that's the only place He can be. They also believe He is not omniscient. He does not know everything. They also reject the Trinity because they reject the nature. It's incomprehensible because Jesus was created, so therefore Jesus cannot be God. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're expected to obey the watchtower as if it is the voice of God. And that is in their article, The Watchtower, June 15th, 1957, on page 370. They also believe we must recognize not only Jehovah God, our Father, but His organization as our mother, which is the Watchtower. And that's May 1st, 1957, page 274. They're also, if a Jehovah's Witness disobeys the Watchtower instructions, they'll be assumed as an apostate and punished with disfellowship. And this fear of disfellowship, think about it. You come to church all your life, you've got your friends, your family. If you step out of line, guess what? They no longer can have association with you. That is the oppression or the fear that the Jehovah's Witnesses have over their members, keeping their members obedient to its teachings. The Jehovah's Witnesses, and they use Isaiah 43:10, says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen." They take this verse to mean that they are the only ones that have the truth. They are the only ones chosen by God here on earth to be used of Him. But the correct teaching of Isaiah 43:10, it is referring to Israel. It's referring to Israel as a witness of Jehovah from 15 BC to 33 AD. That they were going to be a witness for Christ before Christ had come to this earth. And so they were going to proclaim God. They were going to represent God to a pagan world, to the Philistines, to the Amorites, and all the other nations around them. But they take it out of context. And they take their beliefs. They also they twist scripture. Let me ask you, as you're trying to figure out, let me tell you, everybody that knocks on your door and are trying to give you literature, don't assume that what they're saying or what they believe is true. Because if Jehovah's Witnesses are the only true witness of God, then Jehovah's Witnesses started in the 1870s. So that means that for 1800 years, God left people without the truth. Think about it. The Mormons started in the 1830s. 1820s, I believe it started. And by the 1830s, they had organized a little group of following, moved from New York, and of course, their sad story all the way west. But you think that they believe that God had given them a revelation, something that God didn't give anybody else. That means that God had let people die and go to hell because no one else before that time had the truth. No one had the instruction of God's love and forgiveness. But yet, the Watchtower magazine in December 1st of 1981 on page 27 elevates the Watchtower organization above the Bible. And it makes gaining eternal life depending on following the Watchtower Society. You know, I could go on and on and on about all of the things in which they believe that are not only contrary to what we believe, but because what we believe is of the Bible, it's contrary of the Word of God. And if we're going to understand that there are false prophets, there are false teachers, we must be able to spot. We got to do a source test. Let's go back to the source. Let's go back and say, you go back and you start to study the life of Joseph Smith. You'll never be tempted to become a Mormon. What a wicked and evil family the Smiths were. And everyone from their town of upstate New York declared and said how evil and malicious and wicked their family was. But yet this teenager was used of God to interpret the Word of God that no one else could have done. Let me tell you, there are false prophets of the past, and there are still false prophets today. When we think of Benny Hinn and the healing churches and those on TV that wave their coats, And people fall over. Let me tell you, that's playing on the emotions of people. And their desire to believe and their desire to want to be healed. Let me tell you, it may not be God's will that they're healed. A healing preacher, it may be that God doesn't want to heal them. You know, when you look at Scripture and Paul had asked three times for God to take away the thorn in the flesh, and God said, mm-mm. And the third time, Paul said, you know what? Well, then will I glory in my infirmities. Then, God, this is your will. I saw a statement this week, and boy, it was so true. I posted on Facebook. You know, God didn't empty or drain the Red Sea. He parted it. Sometimes it may not be that God takes away your problems, but He gives you a way through them. And when we start to take things out of context and we start to not rightly divide the word of truth, we get into an organization that believes that whatever their newspaper puts out on a monthly basis is as what God says and is inspired by God. Just like the Catholics believe whatever the Pope says is as if it came from God and it is as counted as righteous and holy as God's holy word. But to understand, you go through so many flaws, so many holes in these faults. So do a source test. Start looking at the source. They'll want to lay down another source alongside the Word of God. Let me tell you, the compass or the path for the future of our church, it's not the Howells Church Manual and the Word of God. It's not so-and-so's book on how to have a successful church. It's only the Word of God. Boy, a good way to get into understanding of the source of truth. Do they put other things next to the Word of God? Do they have other books that are considered as inspired and as holy and as precious as the Word of God? There's a very clear sign. Do a source test. You know, the Bible says we're not to add or subtract anything to the Word of God, not to take anything away. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse number 32 says, "What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." God's saying, don't take away and don't add to it. Just do what I say. Is their source the Word of God? Or is it this great new concept or this great new idea on how to make you feel happy and how you to make you fall in love with yourself all over again? Let me tell you, you get in the Word of God and you understand how much God loves you, well, you'll think you're pretty special. You'll want to give your life to Him, and you'll find some joy and purpose in your life if you'll just get busy serving Him and living for Him. Do a source test. Then do a Savior test. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Do they believe He is the virgin-born Son of God? Do they believe that He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father? Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10 says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only Him shalt thou serve." God used Scripture to put the devil in his place. With that, we should do a Savior test. In that little advertisement to buy the book of Joel Osteen, he mentioned himself 5 times in the little ad, about a minute and a half. He mentioned God twice, and he mentioned Jesus Christ 0 times. As we understand, does it point people to the Savior? There's a very clear sign if it doesn't. And do a subject test. What's the subject of the matter? You know, is the primary source of their teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2 says, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul determined not to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ. He says, you know what? I don't want to know. The only thing I need to know, and some of us, we have limited capacity in our minds. We can only learn, so we're like a computer or like our phones. You ever had your phone, you try to take a picture, but you can't because there's not enough memory? And you got to delete things to get it back in. You know, our minds are the same way. But we need to be very careful what we put in our mind. It's amazing sometimes we can't remember the books of the Bible. We can't remember the Ten Commandments. We can't remember any Scripture. But we know all the names of the hit songs. We know all the stats of the football teams. We know everything that's going on in the world around us, because we filled our mind with that. You know, we need to be very... Paul said, you know what? The only thing, my space and my mind is precious. And I'm not that smart. The space in my mind is precious. I think there are some things that I need to make room for. He says, you know what? I want it to be about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. Everything else folds in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that is the basis of everything that we believe and we teach. You know, the Old Testament says that someone's coming. And the New Testament says that someone has come. And the book of Revelation tells us that someone is coming again, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want things to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's about the Lord. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. The Bible has one theme, and it's salvation. The Bible has one hero, and it's Jesus Christ. The Bible has one villain, and that's Satan, the devil. Do they teach salvation as it's through grace, through faith? Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 1 and verse number 9 tells us that as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, we've got to be very careful. What salvation, what Savior, what are they pushing? You know, when someone comes to your door and they knock on their door and you look through the people and you've got to make that decision, you know, or your phone rings and it's an unlisted number and you're thinking, oh, you know, here we go. You answer and they say, hi, how are you? Is this so-and-so? You know, and I am a little sarcastic. Maybe I'm a little rude. Let's just be honest. And they'll say, hey, is this Don? I'm saying, I don't know. You called me. You tell me. I'm trying to figure out, why are you calling? Who are you? Someone's at my door knocking. I'm thinking, okay, you know, what are you trying to sell me? A vacuum cleaner, you know, a candy bar, brownies, what is it? You know, understanding, why are you here? But anytime anyone says anything else that must be done other than trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then they take the whosoever out of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, of course, many of you know it, says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Anytime they say anything else that must be done to trust Christ as their Savior, you know, you've got to do the salvation test. The salvation test. Do they teach salvation by grace? Or is it something they must do to earn? You understand that Jehovah's Witnesses are accepted into, and of course they believe Armageddon's going to come and wipe out everybody except for them. They're the only ones that are going to survive. That's why it's so important that people don't leave the Jehovah's Witness, because they feel like if they do, they're taught that they'll be burned up. They'll be destroyed. But if they stay in the group, you'll be saved. But yet, salvation is by grace. It's not by being a part of a group or a hall or a newspaper. But any time there's another way to heaven, they're taking the whosoever out of Scripture. And if you take the whosoever out of the Bible, anytime you do that, you add something else as a qualification. There are many that live by fear or live maybe knowing what they might have some idea that what they're being taught or what they're in might be wrong, but they don't dare question it, because if they do, their salvation now is in jeopardy. Boy, anywhere that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will receive repentance, will receive the salvation to be saved through their faith. You got to do those tests, the salvation test, the source test. Understand, what source is it coming? Is it the Savior test? Who are they preaching? Who are they lifting up? Are they lifting up Joseph Smith or Pastor Russell or whoever, the last editor, or whoever's the president of the Jehovah's Witnesses right now? Because in their system, whoever's president, they're president for life. You think you go to Catholicism, who do they lift up? They lift up the Pope. They worship the Pope. They pray to the Pope. They look to him as he is equal with God. They lift up Mary. They lift up Peter. They lift up Paul. They lift up all these other saints of all the nations that they've conquered and created a hero to get those people in that nation to believe and follow after them. But when do you see them pointing others to Christ and Christ alone? No, you've got to do your Hail Marys, you've got to do your penance, you've got to come to Mass, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and then, you know, but you might make it maybe then. No, it's through Jesus Christ alone. You've got to do the source test. You've got to do the Savior test. You've got to do the subject test. and you've got to do the salvation test. And lastly, we'll close with this, you've got to do the sanctification test. Do they teach, and are they endeavoring to live a holy life? Now, there are some false religions and some cults that have very, very strict standards. So therefore, maybe this may not, but you go through the other test, you'll see the fraud. But there are others that claim to know they're on the way to heaven because of their religion or because of their belief, but they don't live a holy life. If we're following after Christ, is there someone who's teaching and preaching a false prophet? Are they endeavoring to live a holy life? If they're not living a holy life, don't teach personal holiness and separation from their sin. You know, in the Jehovah's Witnesses, there's no worship of God. They don't worship God. And I think our lives should bring glory and honor to God. Do they teach a separation from sin? Some of the cults and some of the things that you hear of, these small groups and things, and you start to hear about the wickedness that goes on behind closed doors, and you just sit there and think, how could anybody get wrapped up into that? Let me tell you, before you fall or you spot a fraud, you start to, are they endeavoring to live a holy life? Are they teaching and preaching separation from sin, from wickedness? Because if they don't, then there's something wrong with their teaching. There's an error. Boy, it should point Jesus to Christ. It should edify and lift up Christ and shine brightly. But let me tell you, Satan, he's the father of all lies. He's the master at lying. And he's the master at making false appear to be truth. We see that as he came to Eve. Let me tell you, even in this world today, be very careful who we follow or who we allow to influence us, because we must be able to spot whether they are, you know, there's so much on YouTube, there's so much on the internet, so many websites. Be very, very, very careful. And with that, let's close. Lord, we thank you for your word and these words of instruction here in 2 Peter, that we can know to be careful for the false teachers and prophets. And Lord, especially in the end times, there's going to be a rise, a falling away. Lord, those that are going to be deceived and have been deceived throughout the ages by Satan, Lord, may it not be said that our household or our family or our grandchildren have been a part of that. That, Lord, that we continue the faith, we continue the truth, we continue teaching the Word of God and the Word of God alone. That, Lord, we don't take your words and mix a little bit of man's thoughts and wisdom with it, because, Lord, then it's tainted. Because, Lord, the Bible says your ways and your thoughts, they're above ours. And with that, we need your word to live by and to live on. And therefore, we must stay true to your precious and holy word so that you can be glorified and that you can use us greatly for your glory and your honor. And Lord, that we can be wise and understand. And with that, Lord, my heart's desire, it's not that we study and we learn every false religion, but Lord, that we just get grounded as a church in truth. So when something false comes along, we'll spot it a mile away. Lord, I pray that you please help us to get into your precious word and to fall in love with its truths all over again and to burn it deep within our hearts so we can shine brightly to this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to be dismissed tonight. And we can have a time of invitation if someone here tonight is in a cult or a part of a cult, in the sense of getting in the fault. But, I want you to to search your hearts, but for the sake of time and what's going on next door, we got ice cream melting. No, we got ice cream next door, so we're going to dismiss. But I hope.